So I want to remind us that we are in the season of Pentecost still, right? Right? This is the season of Pentecost for us, and that may not be a big deal, or it may not mean so much for some of you, but it is incredibly relevant to me. We're still celebrating the coming of the Spirit of God to the church, right? Is that how we celebrate now? I mean, what does celebrating mean? Right? Yeah, exactly. We are still celebrating the Spirit of God in our midst. So I think that's really, really important. Because it is the Spirit of God that sustains us as a church, right? It is the Spirit of God that keeps us not only alive and kicking, but joyful, and even in the times of trouble, the one that really guides us and provides peace in our lives. And it's that Spirit that really makes the difference for you and I, who are believers of Christ. Because I tell you, without that Spirit, we would just be wanderers, right? We'd just be another wanderer in this world. Just like Hagar, lost in the desert. You see, the story takes us from under the tree Mamre, remember, close to Hebron, where Abraham and Sarah had their names changed, right? From Abram to Abraham, from Sarai to Sarah. And we go to this place that is really unexpected. We go from a place where there's everything for them, and now this lady and her son are in the desert. And we follow this story of this couple and their encounter with God, right? Their encounter with God and God's promises to them. And we've seen how God proves to be faithful in fulfilling his promises and completing all that he starts. And we're also reminded of this couple's decision to take matters into their own hands. Remember, right? They got the announcement that they were going to have a big family, and Sarah couldn't stand it anymore. Right? She had to do something about it. You see, sometimes when we make decisions in this type of situation, we seek natural decisions. We seek logical decisions. We seek sometimes what we can call human solutions to the situation. Natural solutions to supernatural situations. Imagine that, right? You know, that Sarah was old and she was promised something that was impossible, right? So Sarah laughs. And Sarah laughs at the men that said that she would have a child. And I guess that laugh that comes to her included a note of disbelief somewhere in there, saying, but wait a minute, I already took care of that. Don't you see? I already took the action to fulfill your promise, God. So what is this that now I'm going to get involved in this situation again? What's this about? You see, now I think it's natural for her to laugh. I already took care of it. Abraham has a child, and he has an heir. Everything's solved. And that's where the oops come in, right? You see, because that's not the one. We read in chapter 21, and we read this last week. The Lord dealt with Sarah, as he has said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age. You see, the promise from God could not be fulfilled with human hands. I'm going to repeat that. The promise from God could not be fulfilled with human hands. And we sometimes forget that God has his own purposes for his promises. Amen? He's got the plan. Like we said last week, Jesus has told us that he came to give abundant life to us. And that doesn't mean that he came to give us a bed of flowers. Right? Because we might get complacent. We might get too conformed to this world. That's why we need to be aware that not everything that God promises is going to be easy for us. And it's even harder to wait. Right? Amen. It's even harder to wait for it. You see, sometimes abundance comes in the midst of trouble. Sometimes abundance comes in the midst of the heartache. My mom, some of you know her, and she's also a minister and a preacher, and she says that Jesus basically came to screw up our lives. Yeah. If you think about it, Jesus comes and says, I'm here to save you, but it's not what you think. I'm not quite sure if you believe this, but all we need to do for proof of that concept is to read the scripture. Right? And when we go to the New Testament and we read about Paul's life, right? We get an insight about what it means. When we read about Stephen, remember Stephen, the martyr? Yeah. Yeah, we get some insight, right, about it. When we read about Peter, the disciple, and about his life, we get some insight about it. And so many more that follow Jesus. I'm telling you, it wasn't this hoopla. So I think my mom has a point. You see, so all these people sometimes experience God in a very special way. So many blessings in their lives. Indeed, they did. But they also had rough patches. Sometimes they were scared, accused, jailed, beaten, killed. Right? Now let's preach that from the pulpits in our churches today. Right? You have come to Jesus Christ so that you can die for his kingdom. And everybody said, amen, right? Sometimes, I can hear. Sometimes we can see in the scripture, in the Bible, how they have been jailed. And they're singing. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Can you imagine? Right? Paul and Silas in jail there. And let the glory of the Lord rise. And let the songs of our Lord just rise among us. Let rise. And all of a sudden, right? You remember that? So imagine that call from Jesus to a life of abundance in jail. See, the way that we are supposed to see these promises from God is not the way that we normally or logically would see them. Because when we are at hard times, it's not easy for us to praise God. Actually, our mind sort of gets convoluted, right? When we are facing decisions in our lives that really matter, that have to do with the kingdom, sometimes the last thing we do is pay attention to the king. So we enter the scene, right, in this passage, sort of like the miniseries of the Jewish people, right? We enter into this development of these characters and how they're making these decisions and how they see and experience the implications of their decisions. And here we encounter the situation where Abraham is celebrating the weaning of his child. Right? That means that the kid is no longer dependent on the mother's milk. Right? He can eat solid food now. And he's jumping and he's running and he is playing and he's doing his thing. So Abraham is glad to see that and he's celebrating. And when they celebrate, that's what? His older brother is there, and they start to play. And I hope it wasn't like my older brother and me. I was talking with my mom yesterday how we played. My brother played by pushing my head under the water and just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And, you know, maybe he looked to see if I was purple. And then, you know, he just let me breathe a little bit and push me back. You know, I hope it wasn't like that. That's why I surf, people. But you see, they were playing. They were playing around just like kids do. And here's Sarah. And we know already what Sarah has done in the past when Hagar was pregnant, right? Hagar was in front of Sarah going like this, right? You remember that in scripture, right? You know, she was like, and Sarah was over here and saying, get rid of that woman. I don't want to see her, right? And she already has sent her away once. So here, we're in a different episode of the saga. And we see Sarah, again, placing her sight on this dynamic between the two brothers. And you know how it is. I mean, and I tell you, I asked my mom to give me the female perspective. Okay? Because as these kids play, I was wondering what was going on through Sarah's mind. What was she feeling? What made her come to that conclusion at the moment? Maybe she was feeling like, you know, way back when she had seen Hagar just rubbing her belly in front of her. Maybe it was jealousy, right? Maybe that was going through her spirit. But I know that there may be other reasons. And we were informed here a little bit about that. Maybe at this point, and again in that culture, Sarah is thinking about herself as the righteous heir to God's promise. And thus her son had no need to share their inheritance, right? Even the scripture tells us about that. So maybe she's going through that evaluation of, hey, wait a minute, time out. This is not right because God, can you see? Because God has given this to me, to us. Or maybe it was about Sarah's anxiety. Again, I think that's what got her in trouble the first place, right? That anxiety. When you have to wait for something, right? Try to wait 9 months, right? For something to happen. You know how it is, ladies, right? And then at that 8th month, my Lord, I want this over with, right? And if we need to go to the doctor and get that epidural and whatever it is that you guys do, let's do it. There's an anxiety, right, that comes along with that thinking. So maybe it was that anxiety and what I call the anxiety of life, of whatever, you know, no, this has to happen now. Because I can't wait no longer. And then we see this so many times in our lives and even in our society. There's couples that are in trouble. They've had situations. And they're saying, okay, all right, we have to solve this. Right? And the solution comes as many ways. Let's get a divorce. This is not working. Right? Or let's say, let's beat each other up. All right? I'll throw bottles to you and you throw whatever you want. Let's do over with. Or let's just get rid of us. Right? That anxiety is something real. It cannot be dismissed. And maybe it wasn't just jealousy, or it wasn't just the culture, maybe it was all of them, right? Maybe it was all of these conditions going through Sarah's mind, because as you and I know, life and our decisions are not as simple as just one thing, right? We have multiple situations going in our brain. We have feelings. We got emotions. We got realities. We got the legal system in the way. So maybe all of these things were driving her to make that hurried decision. So it may be a combination of all of this. Now the fact remains that Sarah made the decision, right? Sarah made the decision to say, okay, Abraham, why don't you take Hagar and solve the problem? And now they're dealing with the unintended consequences. You see, the oops moment has arrived. And she contemplates the scenario around and chooses not to wait for God's plan one more time. I guess that all these things were in her mind again. And what does she do? She lets that just ride. You see, I've learned something in life that I remember my dad telling me about. He says, son, I don't remember much of what my father said, but I do remember this. He says, son, remember, you will have to live with the consequences of your decisions. And at the moment, it was like, yeah, Dad, that sounds good. Leave me alone, right? But as I have lived, right? I've just realized how wise he was. Every choice has consequences. Unintended as they may be. And Sarah did not take those in consideration. She may feel empowered by her own reasoning at the moment. And if you ask me, I think that she was acting more like a man than a woman. She was acting more like I would do than a mother. Because I don't know about you, but when I think about mothers, I think of love, compassion, caring, right? Yes. I mean, that's the idealism, I guess, in my head. I would expect Abraham to say, okay, let's make a decision, move on with this, and take care of it. But it was like the other way around. Sarah is making decisions and Abraham is here, is troubled. Abraham is the one that is thinking with the heart. Abraham is the one that says, but this is my son. This is a child. How am I going to send them off? But God, right? Yes. But God. God intervenes. You know, we just sang this song. You know, God will make a way, right? Yes. You see, God intervenes in the middle of all of that and says, Abraham, I hear you, brother. I hear you. But relax. Hear this. I got a plan. I got you. I got it all under control. I know it's hard. It must be difficult for you. But please trust me. Let go. I'll look after him. Pinky promise. Great. I'll make of him a great nation. You see what happens to us human beings. In life, we're presented with a promise of salvation through Jesus Christ, right? And we're presented with the life eternal through Jesus who died for us. And then we're told that we have life abundant through Jesus Christ who is in us. But we feel anxious. We sometimes feel self-righteous. We feel that we owe it to ourselves to act, to take command, to take control, even at the cost of unintended consequences. Nowhere does it say that Sarah contemplated her decision in prayer. Did you read that anywhere? Nowhere does it say that she sought counsel from God. God, I made this mess. God, I have made the decision and I recognize it was stupid. Now, I know that this is not, may not be the right time to come to you, but I humbly ask, please, would you give me some wisdom in what to do? Right? Yeah. That wasn't there. Nowhere does it say that she's asking God for his will to be done. Right? Yes. Now, we ask for God to do that every Sunday. Hello? Right? Father, your will be done. Not mine. But when we leave this place, sometimes... Sometimes, right? Come on, man. Tell me. Come on, let's get real. Is it sometimes or most of the time? We're not asking that, please, let your will be done in my life. So you see, Sarah is not so far away from us. Sarah is not just a story so that we can tell our kids. Sarah is that mini series of our lives. Now, one thing I can tell you, when we make a decision, having sought God's guidance, having prayed through it, having gone through that process of, I'm not sure, Lord, but you know all things, right? I am not quite into it yet, Lord, and really, I'm scared. But we're placing all of those anxieties in the Lord. I tell you what happens. We can experience peace no matter the consequences. Even if the consequences are counter to what we thought. Brief story, I only have, I know, 30 seconds, but please bear with me for a second. I have a friend who wanted to be a missionary in the field, and he went to school. And he studied, and he prayed, and he was going through the process for 6 years. And finally, guess what? He's sent to the field, he goes to Spain, and when he ends up in that place that he was thinking was going to be Nirvana, he encountered hell. And it wasn't because of all the people around in that place. It was because of that supervisor that God placed in his way. A Christian who made his life miserable. And I tell you, when that happens, what goes through your mind?
Why?
Wait a minute. Lord, I prayed. I've gone through the whole process. I've done this. And now, 2 years. What? Can you imagine 2 years of going through hell? Because the man that you thought was going to be one way is some other way. These things happen. But I tell you again, when you put your trust in the Lord. Even in those times when it doesn't make any sense, when things are not going the right way, you will have peace. Because it says, Father, I gave my life to you. This is what I thought that you had given me as instructions. I'm doing your will. It's your problem. Amen. It's on you. I'm letting go of this thing because I have no solution for it. I ain't got the wisdom to come up with the plan or the alternative or the decision tree. Maybe we can input it in a program in our computer so that it takes care of itself, but it doesn't. We have to leave it to God. And that, I tell you, it takes peace to be able to do. Amen. We'll be able to say, okay, God, here I am. Do your will. Maybe this is what needs to happen at this time, at this moment. Maybe you're teaching me something that I need to learn so that I can be more effective in ministry as I go through my years. So please, if that's the case, open my eyes, right?
Yes.
Amen. To what you're doing so that I can learn the lesson, because I don't want to stay here. I don't think that Stephen woke up that morning saying, today is a good day to die. Right?
Yeah.
And you know who Stephen I'm talking about, right? He was an elder in the church. And I don't think that he woke that morning up and said, oh yeah, I'm ready, Lord. You know, do it. Mm-hmm. He was captured. He was accused. He was judged. And there he is saying, what? Let your will be done. And guess what? The heavens opened for him. Right? The heavens opened for him. I don't think anybody goes through that. Oh, I think it's a good day to be arrested for the cause. Right? Or to be beaten. But his mission was clear. This is what I've been called to do. And you see, that's how the kingdom of God works. Since our lives are not our own anymore. I didn't hear any amens. They have been turned around and turned about by God. We need to have a kingdom mindset.
Yes. Amen.
In order to deal with this reality in our lives. We have to have present all the time that is because of him. And it is for him that we walk in faith. Amen.
Amen.
All right, you can say amen now. You see, and that's not normal. It's not normal. It's not normal for anybody. And I'll finish. 2 more minutes. The last example I'll offer, since we're in the season of Pentecost, right? Do you remember what happened when Jesus was leaving this earth? Do you remember what happened? He was there with the disciples, and what did he say? Right? He gave him the great commandment, right? Go and do all these things. And he says, and go wait. Hurry up and wait. We've heard that before. Hurry up and wait. Wait for what? Because I'm sending somebody for you, right? Wait for the Holy Spirit to come. So go to Jerusalem and wait. And you know what they did? They went up and they put up a tent and they started a revival, right?
No,
they didn't. They went up and they started healing people, right?
No,
they didn't. What did they do? They waited. And guess what? They waited some more. And they still waited some more. And I'm sure that some of them were saying, you know, we've been here 50 days, Lord. Right? It's not easy to wait. But you know what happened.
Yes.
You know the story. Because the moment that the Spirit came, something miraculous happened in that place. And you and I are direct descendants of what the Spirit did that day. There's a song, I've waited for the Lord on high. I've waited. And you know, it's not easy to wait on the Lord. It's hard. But we sing of a God that is a God of wonders, right? We sing of a God that He is forever our King. We sing of His infinite wisdom and knowledge. We sing all these things, and we sometimes even say them to one another. But living that is a different story. And I know that sometimes our anxiety and our feelings, our impetus, our drive, and so many other things that we can name and label here lead us to ill-conceived decisions, right? But that should not be the driver of our lives. Seek ye first what? Did I hear that? Seek ye first what? And? And His righteousness, and all these things. God will make a way. God not only has the power, but He has everything to solve every situation in our lives if we let Him. Let's pray. Lord, we started this service by saying, let her rise. And we continue to ask, Lord, let it rise. Praises to You. And let that joy that only comes from You to inundate our lives. Father, I know that it is impossible for us to find joy in the midst of trouble. But with You, it is different. Because in our flesh, there is impossibilities left and right. But when we are in You, You have solutions. You have Your ways. You have Your mission. You have Your objectives. You have Your purposes. And those promises are true. Let us, Lord, continue to have those promises grabbed on our hands and our hearts and never let go. Because You are our King. You are our source of life. Their source of abundance in life. Amen.